The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
We are 15 years into this new century. 15 years that dawned with terror touching our shores, that unfolded with a new generation fighting two long and costly wars, that saw a vicious recession spread across our nation and the world. It has been and still is a hard time for many. But tonight, we turn the page.
At least 12 people are dead following a horrific terror attack against a satirical newspaper in Paris, France.
But I think the hope was that 2015 would bring sort of a respite from the kinds of terrible events that have become all too familiar for us. But
there is another terrorist attack in the news, but this one didn't take place in Paris or on live television, and there's been no parade of world leaders with arms locked in defiance. This attack reportedly took place in northern Nigeria late last week. According to terrorist experts and U.S. officials, as many as 2,000 civilians were massacred.
Key sites in Yemen's third largest city have fallen to Houthi rebels, security officials say. According to reports, the Shiite militant group has taken control of the international airport in Tars, as well as other key areas, leading to citywide protests. The Houthis' latest operation in a seven-month anti-government offensive has raised fears the country is surging towards civil war.
And a plane is reported to have gone down over the southern French Alps. It's operated by German Wings, an A320 Airbus. 148 people are believed to have been on board.
In Kenya, Islamic militants stormed a college and targeted Christian students. 13 hours later, at least 147 people are dead.
Ireland became the first country in the world to pass a constitutional referendum allowing same-sex marriage.
Just moments ago, the Supreme Court and this landmark ruling, the court making same-sex legal, same-sex marriage legal in this country across every state in this nation.
In Tunisia, fast-moving developments as gunmen open fire on a tourist hotel in the resort town of Sousse. At least 27 people are dead there, six injured. In southeastern France, a suspect is under arrest after an horrific attack on a gas factory. One person has been beheaded and two others injured. And ISIS is claiming responsibility for a deadly attack on a Shiite mosque in Kuwait City.
The question in Europe today is whether Greece will stay in the European Union.
And it's an irony, isn't it, that a project that was designed to contain German power has now given us a totally German-dominated Europe.
Today, I can announce that the United States has agreed to formally re-establish diplomatic relations with the Republic of Cuba and reopen embassies in our respective countries.
Over the past year and a half, Chinese construction crews have been dumping massive amounts of white sand in seven spots in the South China Sea, in territory that China claims as its own. When the sand was in place, those spots were then covered in concrete, and now China says that at least some of its new islands will soon be ready for use.
Today, after 2 years of negotiations, the United States, together with our international partners, has achieved something that decades of animosity has not. A comprehensive long-term deal with Iran that will prevent it from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
This is a bad mistake of historic proportions.
John, a massive blast took place in the heart of the capital of Thailand, Bangkok. Several people are dead, scores more are injured, and local media is reporting that at least 27 people are dead, and there are fears that that death toll will rise.
panic and confusion in Ankara following two suspected suicide bombings. At least 86 people died, the health minister reported. More than 180 were injured, 28 of whom are said to be in intensive care.
New Russian military personnel and equipment on the ground inside Syria, U.S. military officials tell CNN. Potentially volatile addition to a bloody civil war already 4 years old.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. We need to build a wall, and it has to be built quickly.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
A country planning to build a 4-meter-high, 175-kilometer-long security fence along its border, well, there is a certain image and mentality which accompanies that. And so we have Hungary proposing that very scenario. It says to stem the flood of illegal migrants trying to enter.
Austria says it will lay down a fence along its border with the neighboring Slovenia.
Security forces are building a barrier on the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia's southern border with Greece.
We have just published the figures of the one passing the 1 million mark for the number of refugees and other migrants heading north into Europe.
Said that it was carrying 224 people, that's 217 passengers and 7 crew. It was on flight from Sharm el-Sheikh in the Sinai, a holiday destination.
Everyone on board the plane has been killed.
Breaking news out of Paris and what at least at this moment looks to be a city under terror attack on several fronts.
Hundreds more wounded in the second major terror attack inside Paris this year. ISIS has claimed responsibility.
La France est en guerre.
France is at war.
Turkey says it warned the Russian jet 10 times it was violating Turkish airspace before ordering its F-16s to shoot down the Russian aircraft.
What greater rejection of those who would tear down our world than marshaling our best efforts to save it? Nearly 200 nations have assembled here this week. A declaration that for all the challenges we face, the growing threat of climate change could define the contours of this century more dramatically than any other.
Since taking this office, I've never been more optimistic about a year ahead than I am right now. And in 2016, I'm going to leave it out all on the field.
It seems that no matter how bad it gets, there's still plenty of optimism coming from the leaders in the world today. In fact, the events of 2015 have made this world a much more dangerous place. You just heard all the clips. Russia's extending its global reach. It's taking over the Middle East in the absence of the United States. It's pushing into Eastern Europe. China's devouring the South China Sea, creating bases in the ocean. Iran's growing stronger, more belligerent with each passing day. And that agreement back in July, it was, as Israel's prime minister said, a bad mistake of historic proportions. This past year, we've seen the rise of ISIS, a huge story. Even in many of the publications of the mainstream media. Germany's reverting back to its warlike nature that has characterized its history. Germany's on the march. We're seeing a revival of nationalism in Europe. The Vatican's raising its voice. And of course, the European Union is right in the midst of a dramatic and prophesied restructuring. And we've been preparing you for this for so many years. You go back just a few years, even before the crises of 2015, my father wrote back in February 2011 that we're witnessing one of the most significant moments ever in the history of Europe,
the collapse of European economies is handing Germany control of the taxing and spending policies of once sovereign nations. He said the euro has turned out to be a tool for economic conquest by Germany. Finally, he said, watch closely. This is February 2011. Germany will use this crisis to force Europe to unite more tightly. You heard that clip in the montage, Nigel Farage of the UK Independence Party, talking about how the economic crisis has given Germany greater control of the continent. My father said 4 years ago, in the process, some Eurozone countries will be forced out of the Union. When that happens, the pundits will say European unification is dead, that the European Union has failed. Don't listen to them. Every country that leaves the EU puts us one step closer to seeing the German-led 10-nation European superstate. That's where we are after 2015. 2015 brings us one step closer to the return of Jesus Christ, actually. It brings us one step closer to the many prophecies discussed that lead up to the return of Jesus Christ. That 10-nation European superstate, it's now forming. And all the additional crises since 2011, it's just hastening that day. And of course, right in the midst of all of this, you have the United States, you have the United Kingdom, both becoming so much weaker. What will the year ahead be like in the United States? An election year, lots of division and strife. Lots of individuals running for president who think they have the solutions, who are probably just as optimistic as President Obama is about the next year, about 2017, about 2018, about 2019. The events of this past year, I mean, let's say it straight. The events of this past year bring us closer to all-out nuclear war. A war that Jesus said will come frighteningly close to destroying all of mankind. That's what the Bible prophesies. Let's notice Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. And see what Jesus said, because there is hope. Herbert Armstrong used to talk about how close we are to the clock striking midnight. We are ever so close to midnight. But that, as much as it may not seem like it is, it's actually a great blessing. Because when the clock strikes midnight, that's a signal that we can finally move into the warmth and the light of a new day. A new day will dawn. Mankind will have finally learned the lesson that we can't solve our own problems. We can't solve the problems of this world without help from the great Creator God. After midnight, Jesus Christ will return. After midnight, at the return of Christ, this world will finally be brought to its knees and look to the loving guidance of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there won't be any more war, any more terrorism. There won't be any more homicides and murder, starvation and disease. That's really the great hope that we can see beyond the events of 2015 and beyond the events that you know will happen in 2016. There is hope. But there is no hope in man. There's no hope in a politician. There's no hope in nations. There's no hope in a union. There's no hope in a confederation. Any kind of man-made alliance. The only hope is in God. Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. It says, and when these things, well, go through the entire chapter of Luke, Luke 21, study Matthew 24. Jesus said, when these things, when these prophesied events begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. Now, we don't want to jump to conclusions based on one isolated event, one particular trend. We have to step back. We have to see the big picture. It's sobering, isn't it? To hear some of the highlights of the year, actually lowlights of the year. It's sobering. What a year this was. 2015 on the calendar year. You want to step back and see the big picture. But it's helpful also to just pool all of the specific details together. God gives us so many details in Bible prophecy. And what Christ talks about here in Luke 21 and in Matthew 24, it includes many prophesied events that are now happening. They're now happening for the first time in human history. Can you believe that? The first time in history. Look at the direction this world is headed in. And man has no solutions. It can't figure out what to do in Syria, in Iraq, with the refugee problem, in Europe, the southern border in the United States, the spread of terrorism, the march toward nuclear Armageddon. Look at the direction this world is headed in. 2 Timothy 3, we go through this passage so often, and for good reason, because Paul begins the passage, the chapter, by saying, this is what's going to happen in the last days. In the last days, here's what you can look to. Here's what you can look for. Here's what you can prepare for. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. These are the days we're living in. The only time that all flesh could be destroyed from off the earth, which fulfills the prophecy in Matthew 24 and verse 22. That's what Jesus said, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Herbert Armstrong wrote in his booklet, Are We in the Last Days? This is a prophecy. He's speaking of 2 Timothy 3 here. And also Matthew 24, 22. This is a prophecy, as it plainly states, for the last days. He writes, when I was a little boy 90 years ago, those conditions were not true or escalating as they have been within the last 20 or 30 years. The weapons have never existed in all history that could have laid all cities waste until the hydrogen bomb of some 30 years ago. How significant that this became possible only during the time while this gospel of the kingdom was going from nation to nation into all the world for a witness to all nations. He's talking about the work that God did through him, taking that true gospel message right around the world. That gospel message, discussed at length in his final book, Mystery of the Ages. And even as Mr. Armstrong was taking that message around the world to kings and prime ministers, to world leaders, to famous diplomats, peace negotiators, even as he was taking that message around the world, you had this proliferation of weapons that can destroy the world many times over. Some 16,000 hydrogen bombs on the earth today. Verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." This is what Paul said to look for in the last days. Vanity, coveting, blaspheming God, showing contempt for God and the things of God, His holy word, the Bible, upside down families, an unthankful, ungrateful generation, unholy, lovers of self, without natural affection, verse 3 says, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, without even natural affection for your own family, for those you're related to, for your community. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's verse 4. And does that verse describe the world today? Particularly in the prosperous nations of the West, especially in the United States and Britain? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Mr. Armstrong, in his booklet, rather his book, The Missing Dimension in Sex, last printed in 1981, he talked about this present world being a world in revolt, in rebellion against God, in rebellion against the way God organized family. It all has a form of godliness, as it says in verse 5, but it denies the power of God. And Paul says, turn away from this. Turn away from this deception. Turn away from this influence. Turn away from those who would deny the authority of God. Does the Bible have any direct authority over people's lives today, even in the world of religion? We talked last week about so many of the popular traditions and customs in the Christian world today. How that they're not even rooted in the Bible. But does this matter for most people? Not at all. The Bible doesn't have any direct authority over their lives. And so they just follow the crowd. They follow the pack. This is the way of the world. This world that you just heard a brief snapshot of at the top of the program. This is the same world that's filled with churches that send their messages all over the world, that send out their missionaries into foreign lands, that tell people about Jesus. But the message of the good news of the kingdom of God is a message that they reject. The message of the true gospel of Jesus Christ is one they oppose. That's the truth of the Bible. God says, turn away. Turn away from those who would deny the power of God. Verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the great paradox of our day. So much knowledge. So much advancement. So many developments in technology, and so little understanding, and virtually no wisdom, and flat-out rejection of God's prophecies, God's authority. Verse 13 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Being deceived, people deceive themselves by thinking that, well, there's no special danger today. Okay, 2013, 2014, they were pretty bad, but I'm optimistic about 2015. I'm hopeful that we'll have a little bit of a respite. And then we come to the end of this calendar year. And well, it was a pretty difficult year for so many people living on this earth. In the heart of Africa, in Syria, at the southern border of Europe, in Ukraine, here in the United States. But we press on. And we're optimistic about 2016. Now, don't get me wrong, there is hope. There's good reason for optimism. But Bible prophecy tells us that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. A lot worse. And so open your eyes as this next year unfolds. You see for yourself. You watch for yourself. Do you think this world's going to get safer and more peaceful and more prosperous as this next year unfolds? Over in Matthew 24, this is the companion chapter to Luke 21, Matthew 24 and verse 3. It says here in verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" What's going to be the sign of your coming? The true disciples of Jesus asked. This was on their mind 2,000 years ago. So when are you going to return to this earth? When will you return to set up the kingdom of God? To establish the government of God on earth. When will this present evil world come to an end? People today would look at this message and say, well, why are you asking those questions? Why so negative? Are you a doomsday believer? Are you a pessimist? Why are you caught up in all of these prophecies, as you call them? Well, we'll figure it out. We'll solve the problems of this world. There's good reason to be optimistic as we go forward into 2016. Look at all of these candidates. Look at all of their messages. Look at the deals that are being struck. Look at the alliances that are being formed. We're one step closer to peace and utopia in this present world. That's what they say. What does God say? What does your Bible say? What did Jesus Christ say? Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." The first thing Jesus says here is that people are going to be deceived about Christ and his message. People are going to be deceived about Jesus Christ and the message he proclaimed. It's going to get so bad, Jesus said, that many of his own disciples would be deceived. We got into that last week as I showed you how so many false doctrines crept into the very church that Herbert Armstrong raised up. Also deceptive. And really also evil when you look at the way that that transformation happened. Coming back to verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." That gospel will go right around the world. And then that work and then that era will end. And a new era in the history of God's church will begin. An era characterized by lukewarmness, by trust in riches, in material things. An era characterized by spiritual blindness. Look at the world today. Look at how few people have their eyes opened to what's actually happening. That's why we have to keep coming back to these foundational prophecies. Jesus said, "If I go, I will come again." Do you believe that? If I go. He said that while he was on this earth, while he walked this earth. He said, "If I go, if I leave, I will come again." Where? To this earth. He's coming again. Do you hear this message preached in the world of traditional Christianity? The message of a coming king and world ruler? The message of world government headed up by Jesus Christ and the bride of Christ? You don't hear this message today unless you listen to this broadcast, unless you visit thetrumpet.com, unless you view the Key of David program, unless you read our many books and booklets, unless you study Mystery of the Ages. You don't hear this message. Verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Never before has there been anything like this, like what's about to happen on this earth. As I said at the top, the events of 2015, if we're honest, if we're grounded in the Bible, if we believe Bible prophecy, these events bring us one step closer to all-out nuclear war. And thankfully, one step closer after that to the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Yes, we can thank God that for the elect's sake, He will cut it short. He will cut it short for your sake and mine. He will put a stop to it. Mr. Armstrong wrote in Are We in the Last Days, God's not going to intervene or send Jesus Christ to set up a better civilization and wonderful, happy, peace-loving world tomorrow until humanity and its leaders have had to admit their utter failure in providing peaceful, happy, and useful lives on this earth. That's what you're going to hear eventually. You didn't hear it coming into this year 12 months ago. You don't hear it right now. You don't hear world leaders coming up before the microphone or stepping in front of the camera saying, "We have failed. We have failed to solve the problems of this world. We don't know the way of man. We don't know the way to go." He said, "Even today, most people in the Western world do not want to hear much about God. They want God to keep himself out of their lives. They want God to just keep his nose out of their business." And so we come to the end of this calendar year. And world leaders, politicians, hopeful politicians, rush to the microphone and say, "You know what? As we head into 2016, I've never been more optimistic about the course of this world. I've never been more optimistic about the course that we're on." How deceived we are. How arrogant and self-righteous. How vain and self-centered we've become. Where is God? Well, Christ is coming. Verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He's not coming this time to die for the world. He's coming this time to forcibly put an end to human suffering. He's coming this time to forcibly put an end to human rule, led by and influenced by the God of this world. He's coming this time to set up the kingdom of God on this earth. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. We'll get to some emails coming up in the second segment and also update you on the final tally for the Mystery of the Ages goal. If you'd like to contribute to those emails that keep coming in, send those comments, those suggestions, that feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to The Trumpet Daily Radio Show. As I said before the break, email the show if you'd like at td@kpcg.fm. We'd like to continue giving you some good feedback, you listeners, some feedback from your fellow listeners who are very excited about KPCG and the programs, the content produced on this radio station headquartered here in Edmond, Oklahoma. Today I'm broadcasting from our beautiful studio on the headquarters campus, back in the States, back in Edmond. The studio here has been revamped, remodeled since I was here 5-6 months ago. And the weather outside is treacherous. There was a downpour on Saturday, a harder rain than I think anything I experienced in the UK this past year. And over the course of yesterday and through to this morning, lots of snow and ice, an ice storm. In fact, coming up to the studio, I was frantically trying to get to the front door here. I got to the gate at our MPC facility, and either it's frozen shut or my code no longer works at the gate. So I parked outside the gate. Hopefully it's on a little bit of a steep hill, so hopefully it hasn't, my car anyway, hasn't slid down to Simmons Road and gotten smashed by some passersby. In any event, from there, I ran up to the front door of MPC, used my code there. The door was frozen shut. Then I ran as fast as you can run on ice around to the side door. And our producer here, Dwight Falk, was nice enough to run down the stairs and to let me in. That was at 7:06 when you were hearing all the clips, the highlights, the lowlights from this past year. Well, the weather's not just bad here in Edmond. In fact, we had an earthquake to go with it last night, a small earthquake. So there's fire. Well, I don't know about fire. There's storms, there's downpours, there's rain, there's freezing, an earthquake, and then, of course, beyond Oklahoma, all those tornadoes down in Texas over the weekend. 11 people dead from those storms. Unusual, very unusual to see tornadoes ripping through the United States in late December. These are the headlines we typically see in March and April. And this same storm system is taking quite a lot of rain and causing a lot of flooding in the Midwest, up in Missouri and Illinois. It says from the AP, weather events across the country have led to at least 43 deaths in less than a week. That wasn't even included in some of the highlights of the year. The so-called natural disasters that are intensifying as well, and that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. That's true. Well, in this segment, I just want to go through a few emails that we've received and then conclude by giving you the final tally. It's really amazing to me to see how many of you listeners, how many people have emailed me, how many have talked to me directly and asked about Mystery of the Ages and the final numbers and the people that we're reaching in the UK, in Ireland, in Europe, across the Mediterranean. Well, before I get to that, these emails coming in response to the programs from last week, this one from Oregon, I enjoyed in particular all the programs about Herbert W. Armstrong this last week. It blows my mind what God accomplished through him. The programs were bittersweet for me because after his death, his work was ruined. Yet Christ said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. God kept that promise. Mr. Armstrong was so honest and genuine. God really inspired that man. God lives. It says later, a lot was said on the programs this week about self-discipline, which was really appreciated. Sin cuts us off from the great God, and we all need to feel the same way he does about it. These programs indeed help me stay on fire for God and plainly show God's perspective on things. And no one besides his church is talking about it. Man doesn't seem to care. I'm infinitely grateful to God. He's taught me so much. This next one, a short one, coming in, an email, says, thanks so much for your efforts in proclaiming the truth of the Bible. Keep it up. Keep it up. This from a woman in Florida. Today's program awakened memories of what God mercifully woke me up about what was happening in the church back in 1992. She's talking about the program on Thursday, I believe it was, about the changes in the Worldwide Church of God's doctrine regarding the teaching on Christmas. Those changes that happened back in the late 1980s, early 1990s. She writes, so many in our congregation were receiving Malachi's message. This is back in the early 1990s, but amazingly, no one was talking about it. After receiving a copy of the Philadelphia Trumpet from a friend, I couldn't wait to flee from that church and come home. I remember excitedly writing to a close friend about finding where God had moved his lamp. Friends who had been in the church for many years before we came into the church ourselves in 1983. Friends who helped teach us more fully about God's truth. And I just wanted to share this exciting news, fully expecting that they would rejoice with me and also run from the depressing place that church had become. That's what she was hoping. That's what she was expecting. And she was stunned. She was stunned by the reaction of so many in that church that were already asleep spiritually, that had already checked out spiritually, that were going to stay with the church, stay with the organization, no matter what happened, no matter what the leaders said or did, just go right down with the ship. That's what so many did. She says later on in her email, "I'm so grateful for this radio station that has accelerated, as so many others have pointed out, our understanding of world events in the light of Bible prophecy. It's truly a valuable tool in preparing us for what is coming and for what our and for our place in God's kingdom, when we will finally be able to teach the whole world about God's intended purpose for mankind, unhindered by the God of this present vile world. May God continue to boldly proclaim and grow his work through this radio station. Such a privilege to be part of this work and supporting the living God." This next one, a short one, says, "Excellent program from Richard Palmer on cyber warfare for the Trumpet Daily and Trumpet Hour with host Joel Hilliker and participants. Thank you. I enjoyed this week's broadcast." That's from Friday's program. Richard Palmer filled in for me as I was flying across the Atlantic. This next message, in response to the Christmas program on Thursday: "How refreshing to listen to this broadcast today on the 25th of December. She heard it the next day. On the 25th of December. It ensures a godly perspective while the rest of the world is focused on turkey, Brussels sprouts, and what present they did or did not get. It says, very interesting, too, hearing the facts, again, behind the deception in the Worldwide Church of God. Thanks again for a wonderful program." That's from Southern England. This one from Oklahoma: "I'm so thankful for Mystery of the Ages. It does remove the mystery. It does remove the mystery. It says, this is the truth that is real to me and that I want more than anything. Later on, this preparation day has been like no other. How merciful God is." This one from North Dakota says, "Good morning. Listening to you share the emails that come in inspire me to write and thank you for this wonderful program. I'm praying that the goal of 2,000 is reached. I came into the church in 2011, and I'm growing leaps and bounds since my baptism and listening to this program. Listening to KPCG, listening to these programs," she says. Then this last one I received just about 2 hours ago from the Philippines. He writes, "I'm one of your avid listeners from the Philippines. I listen to KPCG via live stream, and I make sure to download the latest programs on my iPod so I can listen to them whenever I miss a program or want to listen to them again. KPCG is such a blessing for those of us in the field. What a great way to fill our minds with uplifting music and incisive Bible-based analysis of world events. And what a way to counter the prince of the power of the air. Thank you for all the hard work that you put into all of these programs. I truly and deeply appreciate it. Tuesday's programs," and he writes in parentheses, "we hear the Monday telecast or broadcast on Tuesdays here in the Philippines because of the time difference. Tuesday's programs are special. That's a special day for me since we started the MOA distribution updates. I've been praying that we can even exceed our target of 2,000 because I know what a gem Mystery of the Ages truly is. I hope that we're able to reach the largest audience possible. It's a book that revolutionized my life, and I can only hope the same for others who will be reading it. Again, thank you so much for your dedication to this mighty work." Well then, the final tally. Mystery of the Ages, this past weekend in the UK, on those CBS stations that we have, the response to Remembering Herbert W. Armstrong, that tribute program, it was the second straight program that we advertised Mystery of the Ages. No doubt many people watching have already received the book, have already made the request. The program brought in 123 additional responses or requests for the book. 123, of course, with some of the record programs that we've produced. You can hear those results and think, well, it was a lower weekend, but about a year ago, a little less than a year ago, when we were receiving 15, 20, 25 responses, how exciting it was 12 months ago, 11 months ago, 10 months ago. And now it's just routine. 120, 130, 150, some programs 200, 215. So here then are some of the updated numbers, and I'm going to use the numbers that the Mail Processing Center in the UK have related to me. Overall, firstly, for the year, 52 weekends, 52 programs. Those CBS stations in the UK have now generated 7,718 items of literature distributed. Nearly 8,000 pieces of literature distributed as a direct result of television coverage in the United Kingdom. Television coverage that we've waited for years and years and years to get. Finally. And now we have one full year under our belts. Of those 7,718 requests or items, about 1,800 were Mystery of the Ages, 1,800 as a direct result of the television program in the UK. All totaled, however, if we add the other miscellaneous requests through the year, the total number of Mystery of the Ages that we've mailed from the UK office at Edstone, the total is 2,277. And so here's what we have at the end of this calendar year. The Mystery of the Ages television programs in the UK brought in well over 2,000 calls and text requests. And I've told you how that some of those were duplicates and so on. And so the actual number of books was a little bit lower. And so now we know that the number of books was about 1,800. More than 2,000 requests, 1,800 books directly associated or related to those programs. And in total, 2,277 Mystery of the Ages went out this past year. Now, if you look at that in comparison to the previous 9 or 10 years, when, if I'm reading the stats correctly, and they can correct me later if I'm wrong, but I think in the previous 9 or 10 years, we had distributed about 5,000 Mystery of the Ages. And so to get almost to half that amount in 12 months' time, it's been a tremendous year. Tremendous year of growth. Or at least many, many, many seeds have been planted. And now we can just hope and pray. As that listener from the Philippines brought out, we can hope and pray that that book will impact those lives, or at least some of those lives, in the way that it did that listener. Listening in on Tuesdays for the Monday updates about Mystery of the Ages. Well, in the days ahead, as we put the finishing touches on all of the numbers for the year, perhaps I can update you further as some of these figures might be revised ever so slightly. But I think what I give to you today is pretty solid. Two out of the three, as far as that 2,000 figure is concerned, two out of the three, definitely more than 2,000 requests made as a result of those programs, at least 1,800 books going out directly because of those programs, and in total, over 2,000, well over 2,000, 2,277 Mystery of the Ages distributed in one calendar year from the Edstone office. Thank you for your encouragement along the way. Thank you for your support, for your prayers. And as we go forward into a new calendar year, we've got some, as I've said before, we've got some other ideas for goals in mind regarding Mystery of the Ages, regarding the United States and Britain in Prophecy, regarding the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. So we'll lay those out for you, those goals. We'll lay those out for you in the weeks ahead. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show inside of our studio. Here in a very cold, wintry Monday morning in Edmond, Oklahoma. KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial, the live stream is at kpcg.fm. Keep sending the emails. Send them to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.